A couple of weeks ago, my daughters, you know, started back to school. Of course, a lot of your kids have, and they need certain things. We homeschool our kids, so they need laptops. And, well, to say the least, they're kind of hard on laptops. So they pretty much destroyed the ones that they had, keys falling off of them and all this. And so I had to go out and find them some new laptops. And the problem is I'm cheap. So I didn't want to buy them anything that was really expensive, but I also wanted to get them something that was very durable. So 10, 12, 15 years ago, I worked as a network administrator for a company up in Abingdon, Virginia. And I handled all their servers and PCs and everything. We had one department that was marketing. And all they dealt with were Mac computers. Well, I didn't like Mac. I liked PC. So there was always a battle between us. But eventually, I had to learn it because I was the network administrator. So I had to learn all this stuff. So I did. And quit that job and started the job I have now. And so here in the past couple of weeks, I had to find my daughter's laptop. So I decided, well, I'm going to do some research, and I'm either going to get Mac or I'm going to get PC. So I did some research, and I found three articles that were very good. They were non-biased. So based on these articles, this is ultimately what they said. They did what they call benchmark tests, where they put Mac here and a PC here side by side, and they do the same things with all of them. And they found that the Mac lost in everything except for two things. So it was basically 2 out of 10. And the PC beat Mac 8 out of 10 times. And this was the conclusion of their survey. All three of them agreed. Mac, Apple, years ago realized they lost. So they began to change their marketing strategy and target something that people always look at. And that's the outside. So ultimately, they said, if you want to pay 3 times more for a laptop, and you want it to do a tenth of what it should do, buy Mac. If you want it to look pretty, buy Mac. But if you want it to be a workhorse, buy a PC. Well, so I figured that out, and I also found out that there had some sturdy models, so I bought what I bought, and I was going to work one morning. And that's usually the time that I talk to the Lord, is in the morning and in the evening when I'm going home. And it just hit me. And I said, okay, what kind of Christian am I? Am I a Mac or am I a PC? Am I cute on the outside and only do a few things? Or am I a workhorse? What kind of Christian am I? And my message today is entitled, Approved of God. And there's a problem that's been in the church since Paul's days. It's still here now. It's always been. And that is the fact that most people who are not preachers, not teachers, not pastors, they believe that their responsibility is to sit where you are right now and just simply listen to the preacher. And the only time this ever opens is when they're at church, right? And that's it. Now, the reason for that is because they think it's the pastor's job, right? I mean, the pastor's supposed to tell you what's in here, right? He's supposed to teach you this. But that's wrong. It's not the pastor's job. You see, you, as a Christian, have a responsibility to God. And we're going to find out what that responsibility is. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, and he that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now there's something I want you to look at here in these four verses. Look at what he says in verse 1. He says, thou therefore, my son, be what? Strong. Remember that. Okay? Verse 3, look what he says. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. So obviously, that's something that's important because he mentions it several times. As a matter of fact, he goes on into another verse and says the exact same thing. So he's telling Timothy here, he's saying, be strong in the Lord. And he's saying, endure hardness. Now, look what he says here in verse 2. He says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So in other words, he's saying, if you don't know anything, and there's nothing up here in your noggin, how are you going to commit these things to other people, right? How can you commit these things to other men if you yourself have no knowledge and no understanding of God's Word? How are you going to do that? Now, he also goes on to say that he, at this time, is in bonds. He's because of the Word of God, because of preaching the Word of God, because of telling others about Christ, he is now in bondage. That's why he tells Timothy at the very beginning, he says, my son, be strong and endure hardness. Because you see, if you love the Lord and you serve the Lord, what's going to happen? You're going to get beat up. Period. You're going to get beat up. No person who has ever served the Lord has ever walked on this earth that hadn't been beat up by somebody because they served the Lord. That's persecution. You are going to be persecuted. You're going to be persecuted if you believe this book, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe there is but one way, and that is through Christ, to get to heaven, to get to God. It is only through the blood of Christ. Listen, people are going to tear you apart in this world. They will. And so Paul is telling Timothy here, he said, look, endure hardness and be strong because you're going to have to. You don't have no choice. Now, most people, this is where they go wrong. Most people look at these verses and the first thing they think is, well, I'm not a preacher. Timothy was a preacher, right? He was also a pastor. They say, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a teacher. Wake me up when you're done, because I don't need to hear this. But it's to you as well. This is to everyone. If you're a Christian, your responsibility is to serve the Lord, to love Him, and to study His Word. That's your job. Now, I've got a little outline I want to give to you. If you want to write it down, you can. The first thing is God's charge to a soldier of Christ. The second thing is God's command for a soldier. And through these 2 points, I have some things under there. If you want to write them down as I go through them, you can. Jude 1 verse 4 says this, and this is where you really have to pay attention, because this is the whole part of the message. It says that certain evil men have crept in unawares. As a matter of fact, turn to Jude chapter 1. Turn to Jude chapter 1, second to the last book in the Bible. Jude chapter 1, verse 4, and we're going to read it. Jude chapter 1, verse 4. He says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, you see, it's a given fact that when you and I come and assemble ourselves together for the purpose of God's Word, who else is here? See, the devil's always here. He never misses. Ever. He will always be among us. Because his job, what he desires, is to take what God has made perfect and destroy it. And that's what he wants to do with you and with this church, with any church. So, knowing that, and the condition of churches today, we want to keep ourselves from that, don't we? Well, the only way you can do that is right here. This is it. Everything you need to know is right here in God's Word. And if you don't know this, what are you going to do? I mean, if you don't know anything, how can you know if these evil men have crept in unawares? Notice the word unawares. Why did they creep in unawares? Why didn't the church see this? Why didn't the people see this? It's because they didn't know. They didn't have this. They were Sunday, Wednesday Christians. They opened their Bible on Sunday. They closed it on Sunday. They opened it on Wednesday. They closed it on Wednesday. They never looked at it again. You know why? Because of preacher. I mean, the preacher, you know. I ran into a lady one time years ago, and I'd been in the ministry at that time probably 5 or 10 years. And we were talking one day, me and another person, we were talking to her. And she was just really excited about her church, and she was telling me how wonderful her church was and that it was a miracle church, and church and church and pastor and church and pastor and pastor and church. And see, I picked up on something there. What do you think I picked up on? No Lord. No Lord. I heard pastor, church, pastor, church, pastor, church. It's all I heard. At the end of that conversation, she told us she was trying to get me and this other guy to come to her church, you know. And she made this statement to me. She said, "Our pastor knows the Word of God from front to back." Said he does. Very knowledgeable man. I mean, knows it from front to back. So after she got done talking, I just asked her a simple question. I said, "Well, let me ask you something." I said, "Do you know the Bible front to back?" "Oh, no. Oh, no, not me. No, I don't know." I said, "Well, then how do you know your pastor knows the Bible front to back?" Well, you'd have thought I shot her in the face. She didn't know what to think. She didn't have anything to say. Well, you see, and I can say this as honestly as I possibly can, my desire for you is the same desire that Paul had for the church. I would not have you ignorant, brethren. I don't want you to be ignorant and unlearned of this Word. Now, you say, "Well, are you yelling at me?" No, I'm not yelling at you. What I'm saying is, you don't know what you're missing. Do you know what it's like when you open up God's Word and you begin to read and you begin to study, and then all of a sudden the Lord, I mean, some of you know this, the Lord comes down and opens your mind up and opens your heart up. And I mean, you just have a wonderful time, don't you? You don't know what you're missing. I mean, not only are you being disobedient when you don't do what God's Word commands, but you're missing out. You're missing out on a blessing. And I don't want you to miss out on that blessing. The first thing, God's charge to a soldier of Christ. That's 2 Timothy 1 through 4. In 2 Timothy 1 through 4, we found out, what did he say? My son, be strong. Be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. And the things that you have heard, look what he says, of me by among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. In other words, what Paul was saying is, I have set an example for you. I've set an example for you. How many in here can raise your hand and say, you set an example for the people around you? And I mean a godly example. When people see you, what do they think? When the world sees you, what do they think? Are you setting a godly example? That is your responsibility. That's not our pastor's responsibility. It's yours. But we depend on him. You see, what happens is, and this is very dangerous, over the years, things that are not necessarily true or scriptural begins to creep into the church. Now, a lot of that is the fault of preachers. It is. I mean, I'm not going to deny it. I'll tell you, it's the fault of preachers. Because what happens is, a preacher gets up, and let me ask you, is a preacher human? Yes or no? Yes, he's human. So, is he perfect? No. He makes mistakes, right? He's just a man, just like we are. I mean, he's human. So if a preacher stands up, he opens the Word of God up, and he begins preaching to you, and all you do is just listen to him, but you don't take this and flip through it and say, well, let's see, he said this, but what's it? Oh, okay, yeah, okay, there it is. And you find out if what he's actually telling you is true. What if you just listen to him and just close your Bible? What if he tells you something wrong? Well, you see, here's how it happens. The Bible says it grows like a canker, like cancer. It starts out real small, and it's something that is evil. Something real tiny. Nothing big. I mean, the preacher didn't say, hey, look, the only way to heaven is get up here and dip yourself in the baptismal and you'll be all right. I mean, it's nothing big. It's just something little. Well, what do you think happens with something little? You see, the devil takes that and he spreads it. And he spreads it. And that little thing that was said that wasn't scriptural begins to get bigger and bigger and bigger. I remember Rick saying one time to me, he said, listen, he said, if I ever stand up there and say something that's not in the scripture, he said, you tell me. You tell me. Because I honestly believe, and I've known many other pastors, I can honestly say I really believe our pastor would rather die than to stand up here and lead you in the wrong direction. The man would rather die than to do that. Why? Because he loves God and he loves you. But see, not every pastor's like that. But you see, Rick, being human, he can make mistakes, right? So, what do we do? This is our responsibility. When he stands up here and preaches, when I stand up here and preach, when anybody stands up here and preach, you better have this open. You better be watching. Everything that I say, everything he says, everything that any preacher stands up here and says, you better be paying attention. And you compare it to what God's Word says. Just because I say, okay, here's a verse, I read it, and this is what it means, that doesn't mean it's true, does it? No. But how else are you going to know if you don't study? Now, look what he says here. His charge to a good soldier was to be strong and to endure hardness. And look at the next thing. And this is difficult for some of us. It's difficult for me. And I'm going to tell you why it's difficult for me. Look what he says in verse 4. He says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. What does that mean? That means don't get caught up with the world. And by the way, you see, if this is God, and this is the world, And this is you. The closer you get to the world, how far are you from Him? Do you see that? You're right here with the world, but you're right here with Him. But, guess what? The closer you get to Him, where's the world? The farther away from the world you get. So your responsibility is to stay as close to Him as you possibly can. Because without that, you won't even know the difference between right and wrong. You will entangle yourself with the affairs of this world. And it's easy to do. Listen, the devil has put so many things out there in this day and time for you to play with, hasn't he? I mean, anything can draw you away from the Lord. And anything that does draw you away from the Lord is a sin, no matter what. I have I've always been like this. If you give me a task to do, I will die before I let that task beat me. I mean, that's just the way I am. I'll sit there for hours and hours and engulf myself in it until I figure it out, no matter what it is. Did you know that that can even pull you away from the Lord? That can do it. What about your job? So I really like my job. Well, do you like your job more than you love Him? Does your job pull you away from your responsibility to Him? Yes or no? Anything can pull you away from the Lord. And anything that does, get rid of. Stay away from it. Turn and go in the other direction. Not only will you regret not being close to the Lord, but you're missing a blessing. That's just the bottom line. You're missing a blessing. And the things that you do, who else sees these things? Everybody. Everybody at work, everybody at church, everybody sees who you are and what you do. And that's not what God wants. He doesn't want you leading other people astray. Because He says here to Timothy, He says, look, you need to commit these things to other faithful men so that they can commit them to others. Now, second thing, God's command to a soldier, and this is probably the most important part here, and that is 2 Timothy 2, verse 14. Go to verse 14. Look what he says. He says, of these things, put them in remembrance. Who is them? Somebody tell me. This is how you study, by the way. Who's them? He said, of these things, put them in remembrance. Okay, I'll give you a hint. What is them? It's the things he's going to say. And that's what he's telling Timothy. He says, of these things that I'm going to tell you, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. Now stop right there. Strive about words of no profit. What does that mean? What does it mean to strive with words of no profit? How many of you have ever argued with somebody about the Bible? You ever argued with someone about the Bible? You ever talked to someone about the Bible that you had a disagreement with? Basically, what Paul's telling Timothy is, he said, look, don't do that. Now, this is why. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. In other words, the things that you say needs to help the person, not hurt the person that you're talking to. It needs to be exhorting. It needs to lift them up, not drag them down. Don't argue, but lift them up. Now, how do you do that? Look at verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now look at verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Now I wrote something down here that I noticed, and I want you to pay attention to this because this is extremely important. He mentions it three times in Scripture. Verse 14, look what he says. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. In other words, don't rattle on. Don't argue. Now, look at verse 16. He says, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Now, I looked up the words profane and vain and babblings. Well, profane in the Greek, you know what it means? Profane. Vain means the opposite of God. It means vain, useless. You know what babblings means? That was an interesting word, actually. Babblings simply means, it says, useless words. Just useless, dead words. Anything that is not in this book is a useless, dead word. If it doesn't line up with what the Word of God says, don't say it. That's why you're to study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that shouldn't have to be ashamed. You don't want to be ashamed, but rather rightly dividing the word of truth. The word rightly dividing literally means to make straight. That's what it means. It means to make straight. Now, he warns him here three times. That's the second time. Now, look at verse 23. He says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do endanger strifes. So he warns him three times about this. And he says, stay away from these things, because they are of no profit. As a matter of fact, they'll do the exact opposite. They lead to more ungodliness. Now, going back to Psalms 1:1, this is something that I've used several times in several messages. And there's probably a million messages in just these few verses. Look what it says. Blessed is the man, the word blessed there means happy. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, if you'll notice the degrading way of this person here. Look what happens. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth. Did you see that? What does he do first? He walks, right? Then he stands. Then what does he do? He sits. You see, that's the way the devil is. That's how he brings sin into your life. He starts it out really slow. And you find yourself walking around it, checking it out. Then the next thing you know, you're standing there. And then the next thing you know, you're right in the middle of it. How do you keep from that? Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That means you are to meditate on this book. You're to study it, so that you can show yourself approved unto God. By the way, the Bible also says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. So, let me explain something to you. The body that you're in right now doesn't belong to you. The car you get in when you go home doesn't belong to you. The house you walk into when you go home doesn't belong to you. The money you got in your bank doesn't belong to you. You see, you were bought You were purchased with a price. And it was a heavy price. And you're not your own anymore. Therefore, you will obey God. That's your responsibility. You are to present yourself and everything you have to God to be used of the Lord. But you see, a vessel that's not prepared cannot be used, can it? You have to be prepared. Well, see, you have a responsibility, and that responsibility to God is to study. How can you know anything about God if you don't know this? This is His letter to you. And if you don't study it, you're not going to know anything about Him. As a matter of fact, you're not even going to care. You're going to do what most Christians do. They come in on Sunday, they sit, they listen, they get up and they leave. They do the same thing on Wednesdays. So I would challenge you to ask yourself the same question I ask myself. What kind of Christian am I? Am I powerful? Do I have that knowledge of the Word of God to be used of God? Or am I like the Mac? You know, I'm cute. I'm just cute on the outside and I do a few things, but that's about all I do. I attend church like clockwork. People would say, I'm faithful, right? I'm faithful to the house of God. But what do I really do? When you leave here and you go to work, what do people say about you at work? What do they think? When they see you, what do they think? As a Christian, that matters. It always matters. It's not just here, it's out there that matters. Paul tells us in verse 15, he says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing, to make it straight, to make it right. I have heard the scripture used out of context so many times, and this is why the church is in the condition it's in. Because of these little vain and profane babblings, these little things that were said by preachers, nonetheless, that people just listen to and think, oh, that sounds good. It's got to be right. But they never follow up with the Word of God and look at God's Word and say, is this right or is it wrong? They never do that. Now, I'm going to give you an example. And I've heard this used a lot. I mean, this was for years I've heard this used. And every time I hear it, I'm thinking, you have no idea what you're saying. You don't even know what come out of your mouth. People never look at this. They never study it. They never understand it. But I want you to understand it. I want you to see this. Turn over to Joshua chapter 24. We're going to take a look at something. Joshua 24. Okay, Joshua 24. We'll start at verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods, plural, not singular, put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Now, verse 15, pay attention. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Now let's stop right there. Now I'm going to make a statement to you out of God's Word. And then I'm going to tell you what most people, or how most people use this statement, because they use it out of context. They say, well, the Bible says, choose this day whom you will serve. I mean, you either serve God or serve the devil. Choose this day. So, well, hey, that sounds good, right? Sounds reasonable. That's not what this verse says. Did you know that? Let's take a look at the verse again. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, in other words, in this verse, Joshua has already come to that conclusion. If it's going to seem evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you will serve, whether, and this is the choice he gives them, the gods your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the what? Gods, your father's gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, even though in some instances you could use that statement and say, you know, the Bible says, choose ye this day whom you will serve. So you can either choose to serve God or choose to serve the devil. Sure, absolutely. But that's not what that verse says. Do you see that? That's not what that verse says. It simply says, look, if it seem evil for you to serve the Lord, fine. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served before the flood or the gods you're serving right now. I mean, take your pick. But as far as I'm concerned, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's what he was saying. So you see, people take things like that and they just blow it away. They take it so far out of context. And you say, well, you know, but that's not a big deal. You know, it's really not. I mean, in some sense of the way, it's true, right? I mean, you know, you choose to serve the Lord, you choose to serve the devil, whatever. But no, that's not what the Scripture teaches. And that's why I say, study to show yourself approved unto God. Don't just listen to what people say. You listen to what God says. When God speaks, open your ears. Don't close them. Open your ears. You know, when the pastor's up here preaching, read. As he's preaching, listen and read. And pay attention. You're going to learn. Now, when you leave here and you go home, what do you do? Do you set your Bible up on the shelf and you never look at it again? Do you never look at the Word of God again until the next time we come back? Of course not. You study. And that's what he's telling Timothy here. Because, see, Paul understands that without this study, without this devotion to the Word of God, he realizes and understands that Timothy cannot fight and he cannot win. He cannot endure hardness. And Paul even tells him, he says, look, I am in prison because I preach the gospel. I'm right now being tormented because I preach the gospel. That's what he told Timothy. So he's telling Timothy here, look, don't do that. You know, you need to study. You need to show yourself approved unto God, because if you don't, you can't endure hardness. You can't. Now, rightly dividing God's Word is just ultimately good interpretation of Scripture. And a lot of people just simply don't know how to study. I mean, they don't. The best way to learn God's Word is not only to read it and to study it, but this is what you do. And I'm gonna part with something that's certainly not a secret, and it really and truly will help you. Before I ever sit down and I begin to study, the first thing that I do is I pray. And I say, Lord, I'm an idiot. I'm stupid. I don't know anything. I'm just dumb. So whatever I'm getting ready to read, open my eyes, wipe my mind out of what I think I know, and show me what you want me to know. You see, we don't do that, do we? We open up God's Word with preconceived ideas and notions as to what we think it means. Brother Charles Long told me one time years ago, I was just a young preacher in my 20s, early 20s, and he told me one time, he said, Eddie, he said, don't ever tell God's Word what it says, but let God's Word tell you what it says. In other words, study. And I took that to heart. I understood that. You see, a lot of us do that. We open up the Scripture, we got these ideas in our head, and we want it to say this, but it really doesn't. It actually says this. You ever done that? I mean, truly, some things we don't want to hear, do we? Has someone ever told you something you didn't want to hear? I mean, you just hated it. You knew it was going to be bad for you, and you didn't want to hear it. Well, that's what the Word of God does. Why do you think God says His Word is sharper than any two-edged sword? It cuts. It hurts. It may cut and hurt, but let me tell you something. He heals. And that's what matters. You study His Word. You know His Word so that you can go on teaching other people. The Scripture also says, the men in the church, what are they to do with the younger men? Teach them. The women in the church, the older women in the church, what are you to do with the younger women? Teach them. Believe me, people aren't born with sense. You have to learn. Everything you know, you have to learn at one point or another. Well, if you don't know God's Word, how can you effectively teach other people? How can you take the Word of God and spread it and give it to other people? Not just the saved, but to the lost as well. You have to know God's Word. I mean, have people asked you questions at work about the Bible that you didn't know? Sure, I mean, I've had that before plenty of times. Well, that should challenge you to learn and to study more so that you can know these things. Because, think about it, you say you're a Christian, they look at you as a Christian, and then when they ask you something about Scripture, you have no idea what they're talking about. You don't know what to tell them. What does that make you look like? What does that make God look like? You study and you show yourself approved. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:17. I want to read this to you too. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, there's a saying that I've heard people say this many times throughout my life, and it is so wrong. And I hope that you never say this. Have you ever heard anyone say, well, this is just the way I am. If you don't like it too bad, you're going to have to accept it. You ever heard anybody tell you that? Have you ever said that to someone? Well, let me correct you. See, Scripture, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, and instruction in righteousness. So let's correct that. If the Scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away, and all things have become what? New. Then how can you say to someone, well, this is just the way I am. If you don't like it too bad, you're just going to have to accept me. That's wrong. You see, you and I should always be changing for the better. We should always be growing from the world closer to Christ and closer and closer. And when you do that, just like Paul was, I mean, you know, I always imagined Paul as being a magnet, you know, I always imagined Paul as you know, people just, they liked him. They loved him. You say, well, how can you say that? Because Paul was filled with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is attractive. And that's what you should be. Spirit-filled Christians. But if you don't study His Word, if you don't know what's in here, then you cannot be a Spirit-filled Christian. It's impossible. If you don't study His Word, you're going to stay right here. Remember a couple of weeks ago when the pastor was preaching and he mentioned babies? You know, I think he mentioned one of his grandchildren. And he said he was like 2 years old, and he said, you know, he doesn't want that bottle anymore. Do you remember that? He said he didn't want a bottle anymore. But he said if he wanted a bottle and still wanted a bottle, what would he do? He'd worry about him, right? So you see, if you're still sitting back there on the bottle, you need to stop. You need to grow. I'm not saying that milk is bad. It's not bad at all. I mean, everybody has to start with the milk of the Word, right? But what about a person that's been in church for 50 years, 30 years, 20 years? And the second grade Sunday school class knows more than they do. Well, that's pathetic, wouldn't you think? I mean, do you not think that? If a 10-year-old has more knowledge of God's Word than a 50-year-old that's been going to church all their life, that's a shame. And that should not be the case. How can that 50-year-old person teach the younger if he knows nothing? So study and show yourself approved unto God. And remember the one verse that I mentioned that has really stuck with me throughout my life, because it's very difficult to do, and that is presenting your body a living sacrifice. Do you know how hard that is? I mean, listen, the devil has so much stuff out there. There's so many things to pull you away. I mean, he gets you caught up in some of the dumbest things too. And believe me, once you get through these things and you look back, you know what you think? You're ashamed. How could I have been so stupid? You know, there's been times in my life where this is the world and right here is where I was. And I thought I was having a good time. And then one day, God cleaned my plow. Everybody knows what that is, don't you? We heard a message on that. God cleaned my plow. And when He did, guess what happened? I started coming over here and getting closer and closer to Him. And let me tell you something. It was the best time of my life. It was the best time of my life. So, am I yelling at you? Am I getting on to you? No, not at all. As a matter of fact, like Paul said, I wouldn't have you ignorant. I want you to learn. I want you to know. Because you don't know what you're missing. When you get into God's Word and you study, it's wonderful. The things that come from it in your life. How many of you ever had times in your life where you thought your life was absolutely falling apart? I mean, it was done. You were done. God's always on time, isn't He? Not your time, but His time. But you see, God steps in and He takes all those problems. Does He just get rid of them? No. Sometimes the problems remain. But instead of that problem looking like a mountain now, what does it look like? Just a speck. I was talking to Brother Charles Long a few months before I came to this church. We met in Kingsport and ate lunch one day, and I had cancer just like him. And we were talking about cancer and what we went through. And boy, he told me something that just blew me away. It just blessed me. It really blessed me. So I'm going to tell you what he told me. He said he had taken some rounds of chemo, you know, and of course chemo is bad. It's actually poison, but it really tears you down. And some of you in here know about that, right? You know what it feels like. Well, he said I was sitting in the hospital, laying in a hospital bed, and he said I felt horrible, awful, drained, And he said, the worst problem I had, he said, my head was killing me. He said, it was hurting so bad. And he said, I thought, you know, if I could just get 2 Tylenol, it would feel better. He said, I knew it would. So the nurse come in and he tells the nurse, he says, I've got a headache. If you could just get me 2 Tylenol, I'll be all right. So you know what the nurse says? Okay, sure. I'll get you 2 Tylenol. She disappears. Hour later, no Tylenol. 2 hours later, no Tylenol. He said, 2 hours had went by. She was supposed to bring me 2 Tylenol, and it had been 2 hours. He said, I sat there and suffered 2 hours, and he said, then it just hit me. He said, I thought, you dummy, all you got to do is pray. Just pray. God can take this away. God can deal with this. So he said, that's what I did. He said, I started praying, and I prayed that the Lord would take that headache away from me. He said, you know what the Lord did? I said, what? I mean, I was really into it then. I said, what'd he do? He said, nothing. I said, what? He said, nothing. He said, do anything. He said, I still had a headache. He said, another hour goes by. I'm sitting there thinking about it, feeling sorry for myself. And he said, finally, I thought, and this is the good part. I really love this. He said, Eddie, he said, I sat there and thought, Lord, you've been good to me all my life. You've taken care of me. I mean, you've just been good to me. So he said, instead of asking you to take this headache away, I'm just going to praise you. And he said, I started praising the Lord. And he said, the Spirit of God came down and filled me up. And he said, I was on top of the world. He said, I was laying there in that hospital bed, and he said, I was stuck on the ceiling. He said, you know what happened to my headache? I said, what? He said, nothing. I said, really? He said, nope, nothing. He said, it was still there, but he said, I could care less. Didn't matter to me. Why didn't it matter? Because the Lord was with him. God was with him, and that's why it didn't matter. And you see, all of you, of course, you know Charles, most of you do. Charles studies, doesn't he? He studies God's Word. And over the years, through study, he's grown closer and closer and closer and closer to the Lord. And you know, when he told me that, it really blessed me, because I told him about a time when I had cancer and I just had my kidney removed. And I was going through one of the worst times of my entire life. I felt so bad. I wanted to die. I didn't want to live anymore. And many times I begged God to take me. I said, just take me home. I don't want to be here no more. I'm tired. And I remember one night I was laying in bed. It was probably 12 o'clock, midnight. And I was so depressed. I felt so bad. And I will say this so you'll understand this. When I found out I had cancer, I never once asked the question why. Never once. To this day, I still don't ask why. And I'll tell you why I didn't ask that question. I didn't ask that question because this is not my body. If God wants to take me, He can take me. If He wants to take my kidney, He can take my kidney. If He wants to rip my head off, He can do it. Because He's God. And all this belongs to Him. So I never ask why. As a matter of fact, why not? Why not me? So I'm laying there. It's midnight. Everybody's asleep. It's just me. I feel horrible. And I began to pray, and I said, Lord, I have to have something. I said, I have to see you. I have to. I can't go on any longer. I can't move. I can't do nothing anymore without you. I said, either kill me or let me see you. Even if you have to hide me in the cliff of the rock and cover me with your hand, do it. I've got to see you. I couldn't go on. Well, a little hour or so went by. I turned the TV on. And I'm sitting there and I'm flipping through the channels and I find this a Western or something. I like Westerns. So I was sitting there and when the Western came on, this music started playing in the background. And I honestly, I couldn't tell you what Western it was. I couldn't tell you what it was about. All I could hear was that music in the background. It was a song, a gospel song, but I couldn't quite place it. So I just watched the whole movie. I went through the whole movie. At the end of the movie, this lady sang this gospel song. I mean, it was so beautiful. You know what it was? Leaning on the everlasting arms. Let me tell you something. I had myself a good time. From 1 o'clock till probably 4 or 5 in the morning, it was just me and him. It was nobody else. But you see, without the Word, you don't have any of that. When I was 16, the Lord saved me by His Word. He brought a verse to my mind. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." That's the verse He used. See, that was His Word. So if you don't know His Word, how can you entrust it to others? How can you teach others? How can you do anything at all? You're going to end up useless. Do you want to be useless? Do you want to just come and go and exist and that's it? I don't. The whole time that I had cancer, and I was kind of surprised that Brother Charles told me the same thing. I really was. It really shocked me. He said, "Eddie," he said, "when I had cancer," he said, "you know what I was thinking? You should have done more." He said, I thought I was probably going to die. And he said, "the first thing on my mind is you should have done more. You could have done more. Why didn't you do more?" And, you know, of course, I'm sitting there thinking, my goodness, you Rock of Ages prison ministry, you pastored a church, you know, what else could you do? I mean, you did it. But see, he didn't think that way. He said, the first thing that crossed my mind is I should have done more. Well, I have to say, when I had cancer, death, I wasn't afraid of death at all. I didn't care. I knew where I was going. But what worried me was, what if I stood before my Savior, who shed His blood on a cross for me, who suffered the whole time He was on this earth, He did it for me. What if I have to stand in front of Him with nothing? That's what scared me. So I prayed. I said, "Lord, if You're not going to take my life, then take my body and use me so that when I stand before You, I just wanted my Father to say, 'I'm proud of You.' That's what I wanted. I didn't care about nothing else. I just wanted Him to say, 'Well done.'" So like I said, I wouldn't have you ignorant. I want you to study God's Word so that when you one day stand before Him, He can say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Don't be ashamed. It's not worth it. Hey, you don't know what you're missing. You get into it. You don't know what you're missing.